Okay, so let me pray here, and we're going to get right into the message for this morning. Going to have our youth staying with us this morning, as I feel like this is a family message here, that God has a message for our Elevation Church family. And in fact, it was coming out of two or three Sundays ago, I can't remember at this point, but got here real early, and I was in my little car, and I had the heater on, it was freezing, you know, that was when we were actually experiencing that just, you know, freezing time. And I was doing my just kind of normal, like just review the sermon real quick and then just, you know, pray and really just kind of make sure I'm just with the Lord and lined up with him and sensing his presence and make sure I'm giving a message out of that place. And so just trying to sit quiet with the Lord. And in that time, I just felt like he was just putting some things on my heart, like real strong for Elevation. And it really was about that. I believe, and I'm going to just share, I just feel like this is what he was putting on my heart, that he wants to do something that just takes the good fruit and just goes out into our community in 2015. And just had the sense of like, why not? Why not in 2015 will this church family, why not double? And then it was interesting because even this morning, and my wife knows somewhat of what I'm going to share this morning, but I basically just said, hey, babe, just be ready to pray for people, and she's like, okay, cool. But she said this morning, she's like, I'm praying, and I just feel like God's putting a number on my heart of 200 this year, which is interesting, because we haven't talked a whole lot about that, but that's really, if Elevation doubled, that'd be 200 people. And not that it's about the numbers, but there is this sense of, and if you know me well, you know that, like, I intentionally don't do good things that would bring more people. Like, we go in the opposite direction on purpose. There was this sense that there's so much good fruit, and God wants to go share the fruit. And not that we're not intentionally sharing the fruit, but that there are aspects when we follow God about his timing. And I felt like there was something significant about the timing right now, starting the year 2015, that God was wanting to release something to where we can be more intentional and more empowered by his Spirit, which is the real difference maker, but both of those things matter, to go out this year in 2015 and share the good fruit that God's doing in our lives. When I look at the life of Elevation and the people in Elevation, and I don't know everybody great, but those that I know well and getting to know better and better, one of the beautiful things about even like testimony that Julie's giving, those kind of things, when God's presence is in our life, life gets better. Life changes. I'm not the same person I was a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and good fruit comes. And I am honored to be around you guys and see the gracious, faithful, incredible goodness of God that's producing a lot of really good fruit. Are lives perfect? No, not by any means. But is there a lot of good fruit that can give a lot of hope to a lot of hurting and lost and broken people out there? Yes. Yes. And I feel like just we're at this season, and we start 2015 where God wants to say, he wants to do something and release that to where with intentionality and the power of his Spirit, it gets shared. So let me, that's kind of that that I'm feeling. Now I want to back up and get in the scripture a bit and make sure that we're grounded in the word of God, that I'm not just, delirious because we're on a fast or something, but we'll get in the Word of God here, and then I want to spend some time praying for one another, praying for you guys at the end, and we'll go there. So let me pray first, God. God, I just thank you so much that you are so good in our lives, and just such a personal, just precious image to me that the God experience box, Lord, just you want it to keep expanding. Where there's not this status quo of ho-hum, same old, but God, you want to show yourself to us in a way where, like little children, we can wake up in the morning, almost like a Christmas morning every day, and then, of course, we don't want to, it's not every day, but just this growing sense of just like, what's next? You have more, God. There's always more that you want to show us. There's always more that you want to be powerful and present and transform our current reality, so that we're more like Jesus and more the goodness of heaven is what we experience and that fruit is in our life. I thank you for that. I thank you for the way that you're doing that in many lives. And as I feel like, Lord, you put on my heart just today to line up with you to say, let's find some ways to release that out into our community. Lord, I just pray that if this is your heart, Lord, that you would just empower this morning, and that you would guide my words and give me your words, Lord, to speak to our church family this morning. It would be your heart, Lord. You're ultimately, you're the shepherd, you're the pastor of us, and we want to hear from your heart. So we pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit in our hearts, affirm what you want to say and meet with us this morning in this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. If you've got your Bibles with you, which I would encourage you to bring them, and then your Lift notes, you get those ready. We're going to be just in a few scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 28, the book of Acts chapter 1, and then Luke 10. So a very famous passage to start us off, but it lines up with where I feel like God's moving this morning, because in a sense, I feel like God's put on my heart to do a little mini commissioning for 2015 of the Elevation family. And this passage in Matthew 28 is a very famous passage known as the Great Commission. So let's check it out. This is post-resurrection, so Jesus has lived his perfect life, died on our behalf, and now is proving that everything that he said and did should be trusted, can be trusted, as he raised himself up from the dead and is the risen Lord Jesus. Jesus came to them and said, so he's talking to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So rather succinct, but just very famous. It's this great commission where Jesus passes on the mantle of his mission to his followers, saying, "Everything that you've seen me say and do, I'm passing that on to you." But what's so key to note, I want to hit a few things here that are incredibly important about our understanding of this commission. And the first thing to note is it's God's mission. And what's really happening is that we are being invited in to be a part of it. We're being invited in to be partners in it. Jesus didn't transfer it and leave. So one of the things that it says is that he will always be present, verse 20. Why? Well, because it's his mission, not ours. The whole thing is essentially this incredible invitation saying, this is his mission, and we get to be a part of it. He's modeled it for us. He has inaugurated this new era of what he called the kingdom of God. It's all made possible through his life and death. But this mission now of spreading the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God throughout the earth, it's still his mission. And he invites us to get swept up into it. In verse 18, something so key. This mission is going to be done in his authority. All of these things just leading back to this is God's mission, not ours. We get to be a part of what he is doing in the world. So when we look out at our world around us and we say, oh, God has a mission for us. He does. His mission is to be a part. Our mission is to be a part of his mission. It's his authority. It's his presence that makes a difference. It's his plan. And he's saying, be a part of what I'm doing in the world. In fact, be a partner. That's where the Apostle Paul can say such an incredible word that God has invited him to be a co-laborer. Co-laborer with God. Wow. A partner. But ultimately, it's God's mission. God's in charge. It's his authority. It's his presence. And really, we just want to be a part of it and say, God, how can I be a part of what you want to do in the world? And very, very importantly, that word go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's so interesting to me how over so many years this translation has stood. I think, honestly, the translators are just trying to be encouraging, and they're trying to, make a point of the emphasizing. that we've got to get out there and do stuff. But the reality is, and I'm going to geek out a little bit here on the Greek and the grammar, because in this case, it's extremely important. But that go, that word go that we read as a command, in grammar, they call that an imperative. And there are very, very clear ways in the Greek language to make an imperative. This word, go, which we read as a very clear command and imperative, it is not in the imperative in the Greek. It is actually in a passive tense. And the word go itself is about movement. It's to live, to proceed, to walk, to go about. So it's kind of this sense of this ordinary, everyday movement. And it's in the passive tense, which means it reads more like as you are going about your day, as you're proceeding, as you're living, as you're walking around, as it's this very pedestrian, just kind of normal, everyday movement. Do you want to know where the actual first and primary command of this Great Commission is? The first imperative that we see in the grammar? Guess what? Make disciples. It's actually one word, mathetes, but it's in a command form, so it's basically discipleize, which doesn't translate very well. So make disciples. That's actually the command of the Great Commission. And if we put those things together, a really good, accurate reading of Matthew 28:19 and this Great Commission that God invites us to be a part of is, as you're going about life, make disciples. That's the command part. And then there are some subsequent commands. Baptize them, teach them. Those are commands as well. But go is not a command. Go is a passive assumption. You're going to be going about life. So as my followers, as you go about life, make disciples. And I feel like that is really powerful on a lot of levels. Probably the big one for me is I feel like this translation has made it feel like for us that to make disciples is something that we have to remove ourselves from normal life in order to do. But absolutely, the opposite is what Jesus' message is trying to accomplish here. So it's not remove yourself in order to make disciples. It's saying don't remove yourself. To make disciples is not supposed to be something you have to remove yourself from normal life in order to do. In fact, it's in the midst of every day coming and going. That's that word go. It's just the movement, the proceedings, the walking around, the living. In the midst of that, make disciples. And another piece of it that's huge for me is I feel like that command go can also form like this unintentional sense of, well, I have to be elite if I'm going to make disciples. I've got to be part of the super Christian group. Go therefore. And not many of you are worthy to go, you know, like, right? Like, who can go, therefore? It's like this sense of, that's the people that go overseas. That's the people that go be missionary somewhere. That's the people that go to Mexico. That's the people that go on mission trips. That's the people that go, that they have to set aside normal life in order to have this special call of God, or maybe be this super courageous soul that will set everything aside to go. And that is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is saying. He's saying this is for the everyday, ordinary person, just as you're living. Make disciples. That's the emphasis Jesus wants to make. And I believe that's huge for us. Because this whole question of like, well, when and you where do you make disciples? Well, I have to be called into ministry. I've got to be called to be a pastor. I've got to be called to set aside my whole summer. I've got a call to be planned for a whole year. And is there a place for all of those things? Yeah, we're doing all of those things at our church. But is that the elite, you know, SEAL Team 6 few? And everybody else, you can't do it, not worthy. You're not going. What are you doing? You're just doing life. And Jesus is exactly saying, everybody's doing life. Good. Make disciples while you're doing it. And if you think about it, it makes sense. That's a way better strategy because the vast majority of life is lived just doing life. And you all have access to spheres of influence. And let's just go with this stupid idea of this elite group. And I hate even doing this because it's not what we're about, but okay, all right, I'm the professional pastor, right? So I'm supposed to do all the going and making disciples, right? That's crazy. If there's about 100 people in this room, you all have access to spheres of influence that I never touch. I'm not on your soccer teams. I'm not in your workplace. I'm not at the water polo tournaments where you guys are at. I'm not at your schools, right? I mean, this is real life. And the good news is God's saying, hey, don't remove yourself from real life and try to be this elite. Just live life with my mission in mind. Looking for ways that in the midst of life and in the midst of being out on the kids' sports fields and being at work. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if like God couldn't do his mission work when we're at work? I mean, the vast majority of people spend more time at work than they spend anywhere else. That would be a tragedy if God's mission wasn't happening. What Jesus is saying is, man, if you're at work, you're not at work just to work. You're at work through his work. We're meant to be doing his mission everywhere we go. And it's really just about flipping our mindset. So for you guys, our youth in here, when you're at school, there's your mission field. Your parents don't have access. I don't have access. Like you have access to your friends, to your faculty, to the teachers, to everybody on that campus. You have a unique missionary field that most of us don't even have an influence in. And multiply that by 100 people. You all have spheres of influence. Think of it as this way. You all have spheres of influence where God has already put you. God has already sent you. That God has honored you with spheres of influence that in the midst of just doing your life, he said, your call is to make disciples right where you're at. And I love it. It's powerful. It reminds me of Acts 2. Let's go there real quick. Verses 16 to 18. This is especially for your youth, our awesome 6th and 12th through 12th graders in this room. I love them. This is what God said. This is what was uttered this is what Peter said, obviously the Holy Spirit inspired. As Pentecost happens and the Holy Spirit falls and basically the church is birthed in the power of the Spirit and the missionary work of God's church that Jesus promised has begun. And this is how Peter describes what is happening. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on who? The elite SEAL Team 6? Where is it? I was just going off my memory. Oh, no, it's not what it says. Verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit. Just say that. What are those next two words? All flesh, everybody. And your who? And who? Wow. God can use sons and daughters. Wow, that's amazing. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your what kind of men? Young men shall see visions. And what kind of men? Any old guys in the house? God's not done with you. Amen. All right. Even on my, what kind of servants? And what kind of servants? Watch out, God likes women too. God's just kind of nice. Old, young, women, men, servants. God's just saying, he's breaking down the walls of that elite SEAL Team 6 and saying, no, in this last age, which is the church age with the Holy Spirit coming, they're saying, this is the last days, it's here. It's just this phrase, not talking about, oh no, the world's going to end tomorrow. It's a biblical phrase for an era of God saying, this is the church age and the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that time, which is starting then and still continuing, God's desire is that he would pour out his spirit so every single one of you can have the privilege and the honor of being part of God's elite team, if you will, that can just go out and be part of his mission right where you're at. Love it. Oh, that's good stuff. Okay, so two other questions. All right, so You're rolling with me, when and where, all right, good. We're all involved, we're just out doing life, and we're making disciples right where we're at. We're saying, God, I want to be part of you. So the question is, how do you make disciples? So you're out there, so you're out doing life. You're on the sports field, you're at your job, you're hanging out in the neighborhood, kids are running around on bikes, whatever it may be, you're just doing life. How do you make disciples? It's kind of a loaded question. It is the vision of our church. Be disciples, make disciples. It's never going to change. Been working on it for 3.5 years, and we're learning a lot. We're learning it's a long and it's a deep process. One of my favorite quotes that makes me feel better about being a leader is, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. I think I was pretty bad at making disciples when we started. Just this idea of it's a learning journey. We're following Jesus. We're saying, God, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be like you. It's a long process. So there is a lot of depth and nuance and complexity to all the process of becoming truly like Jesus, to make disciples like he did and be effective like he did. So that's a journey we're committed to for as long as God allows us to be a church. But within that, there's also some really, really simple things to grab onto. And today, I want to take this passage in Acts and just encourage us that every single one of you can be a part of God's mission to make disciples. So in Acts 1:8, Jesus says this. How do you make disciples? In a nutshell, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In a nutshell, how do you make disciples? It's actually really simple. In his power, share your story. Everybody say that with me. In his power, share your story. Where do I get that? Right from the words of Jesus. He says, he's talking about his mission again. Jesus is pretty excited about this. He thinks it's pretty serious, this whole advancing the kingdom of God throughout the earth. And so again, he's talking about it, and he's saying, here's how it's going to happen. First of all, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So that's where, as followers of God, we're kidding ourselves if we think we're going to go out and save people. We're going to go out and heal people. We are not the Savior. We don't heal. God does the work. The power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is absolutely crucial. Like Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. I like that verse a lot. It's a very humbling verse. Apart from you, I can do nothing? Wow. Just need to meditate on that every morning. But in the power of the Spirit, Jesus says, you will do the very things that I do. John 14, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I do. That's, wow, what? That's God's destiny. He wants that for us. He wants to press. Wants us to press into that. That God, in your power, not mine, but in your power, you want me to be a part of doing the very things that Jesus did. Everybody, John 14, whoever believes in me, again, not the elite SEAL Team 6, whoever believes in me will do the very works that I do. Those are Jesus' words. And whoever is you, by the way. Okay? In case we weren't all tracking. You're part of that. That's good news for everyone. Jesus wants you to do the things that he did. Where? Just as you're living life. But that's where our dependence on the Holy Spirit comes. We want to be dependent. Say, God, it's the Holy Spirit. And so that's a journey. It is a journey of learning. Lord, what does it look like to be dependent on your Holy Spirit right now? Second piece, share your story. How do you make disciples? In his power, share your story. That seems way too simple. Well, pretty much all Jesus said. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses. Done. To the whole earth, he says. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, starting in your home. You don't have to go anywhere. Jerusalem. Why is he saying that? Because it's where they live. Start there. Just live normal life. And share your story. Where do I get that? That word, witnesses. Martus in the Greek doesn't really matter. But what matters is its meaning. It's like a courtroom witness. Another translation is a testifier, where we get the word testimony. Julia shared some of her story today of what God is doing and has done in her life. That was a martus, that was a witness, that was a testifier. In like the courtroom, someone who has witnessed events gets to be a witness and say, this is what happened. And Jesus is saying, you take your story and just share it. And as followers of Jesus Christ, all of us have a story. And hopefully, as humbly hungry little kids that say, I want more of you, God, that story is growing. It's not meant to just be, oh yeah, 25 years ago I said a prayer and now I'm hoping that one day I get to heaven. That's a great start. And if you pray the prayer, yeah, Jesus is pretty good. He's going to take care of your sin. You're going to heaven. That's cool. I mean, yes, I'm not trying to minimize. That's awesome. Eternity, woo! But for the rest of your life now, God's not done. God wants to increase it. He wants to increase that story. He wants that story to keep getting bigger and bigger. So that, yes, I came into a relationship with God, and it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and here's what's happened next. And that relationship is getting stronger, and God is freeing me from this addiction and freeing me from that fear and from that anxiety, and he's giving me hope here, and he's transformed my marriage there, and he's transformed my parenting there, and he's given me financial breakthrough here and wisdom in business there and peace in that hard circumstance there and joy in this circumstance. And the story is meant to keep growing. And Jesus is just saying to his disciples, okay, guys, you've been with me 3.5 years. You've got a story. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Then just share the story. It's kind of that simple. Making disciples is the process of being dependent on the Spirit and then looking for those opportunities which God gives you to just share your story. And it's like an answer to this simple question. How was your life different before God? If you don't know your story, answer that question. How was your life different before God? And I know a lot of people that have written it out. And some ministries ask, write, inquire, require people. That's awesome. Because that's helping you think, what was my life? Oh, well, my life, I don't know if it changed. Let's just start running. Oh, my gosh. Wow, I was a jerk. Oh, man. What was your life like before God? And you can even press yourself a little bit. What was your life like 5 years ago? And how did God change it? What was your life like 3 years ago? And how did God change it? And then you can start to get yourself a little accountable that God wants to be doing all sorts of things new. And we should probably be able to answer that question. What was God, what's God been doing in the last month? God wants to be growing your story all the time. That's what gives him glory. As Jesus said in John 15, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. I love that verse. God's on your side to bear fruit. What's the kicker? Oh, we got to humble ourselves and abide in him, remain in him, stay with him. But God wants that story to be expanding. So some of you might feel like, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not trained. I'm not a pastor. I'm not SEAL Team 6. Is there an important place for training and ongoing things? Yeah, we do it here. We have processes for growing disciples and growing leaders. But don't let that ever negate the reality that God said, if you've got a story to share, God can use you to make more disciples. There are hurting and lost, broken people out there in the world that God knows how to perfectly line you up with them. And all you need to do is in the power of the Spirit hear that it's the moment and be able to share your story in word and in deed. And God can use you as part of his mission of making disciples of this whole earth. And let's move on to the last verse here. And it kind of ties together what I was just saying. Of whom do you make disciples? Of whom do you make disciples? We're going to answer that by taking us to a passage in Luke 10 that is really like a little mini evangelism training that Jesus does with his disciples. In this case, it says that he sent out 72. So this is kind of a cool snapshot of behind the scenes seeing how did Jesus train his followers to go out and make disciples. And we see a little snapshot here. And then there's a similar snapshot in Matthew chapter 10, but with his 12. And they're very, very close. So basically, you kind of get this picture of this is kind of the way that Jesus trains people to go out and be part of God's mission. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road." So this is this idea of being dependent. Those are all very practical ways in this particular context, as Jesus is saying, make sure you're dependent on me. If you think you got the skills and you got the strength and it's all about your awesome skills, you're in a bad place. Be dependent. It's God's Spirit. It's going to be the power and the difference maker. "Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" So that's that beautiful Jewish concept of shalom. It's a very kingdom-minded concept. The word itself means peace, wholeness, completeness, well-being. It's that whole idea that God, the way God's presence wants to bless your life is to make everything good. Well-being, wholeness, completeness. That's what that word means, shalom. It's very kingdom-minded. And so Jesus basically says, go and speak the blessing that God wants to bring the shalom of his kingdom into this house. And then verse 6, very important verse. "If a son of peace is there, or a person of peace, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house." Oh, excuse me. "If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house." That's interesting. "Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say the kingdom of God has come near." So basically, he's saying, go out with this kingdom message, this kingdom that God wants to transform our current reality with all of the goodness of heaven, little bit by little bit, little taste by little taste. God wants to make things new. But we see some really, really wise, interesting teaching from Jesus. I want to take us straight to verse 6. "If a person of peace is there, stay there," is what Jesus says. If a person of peace is there, stay there. And it's very interesting, in the Matthew passage, Matthew chapter 10, it says, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and move on and look for a person of peace. And I love the teaching there because it does multiple things for us, but the main thing that it teaches us is that this is God's work, not yours. It's not your job to try to force anybody into God's kingdom. It's not your job to try to coerce anybody into God's kingdom. It's not your job to try to argue anybody and prove your intellectual superiority into God's kingdom. It's a very clear teaching. Jesus says, you share what you have, you bless them with peace, you look for those opportunities to share the message of the kingdom in word and in deed, and we know the deed, it's also about what you do, serving them. So in this case, he says, heal the sick. That is an act of serving someone. I mean, you might find yourself at your workplace, you know, kneeling down, touching your boss's foot to pray for him. That's an act of, you're serving him. You're honoring him, and you're willing to humble yourself and serve that person. So as you, in word and in deed, share the kingdom message, says, if it's received, stay there. If not, move on. There's a lot of freedom in that God does most of the work. It's our privilege to just be a partner in what he's doing. It's God's job to prepare the hearts. It's God's job to prepare the persons of peace. In fact, he says he's doing a pretty good job of it. The harvest is plentiful, he says. The workers are few. says where we need to pray is God's looking for people that would just say, I'm available. Because according to this teaching of Jesus, the harvest out there is plentiful. There are lots of people in our community, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, on the sports fields, that are hungry for more of God and that are ripe for a harvest. They may not even know it yet, but God's out there working and he's wooing them in his own way. But Jesus' incredible truth is the harvest is ripe. That's not what's lacking. What's lacking is laborers who will be willing to partner with God on his mission and be able to really just come alongside and say, God, will you show me a person of peace? God, lead me to a person of peace. This is where we would like to talk about divine appointments. That God's setting you up. And God's setting that person up. And really, he's just saying, are you available? Can I use you? The harvest is plentiful out there in your 100 different places of influence. The harvest is plentiful. I'm working. I got people that are ripe. And I'm looking for people who will say, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to be a part. I'm willing to be that co-laborer with you on your mission. And I'm just really just going to say, yes, Lord, show me the person of peace. Who can I serve today? Who can I share the good news of your kingdom with in word and in deed? And so it really becomes this adventure of God. This is all about you. This is your mission. You're in charge. You're doing most of the work. I just need to be available and say, Holy Spirit, it's in your power and I'm available. Lead me, help me find a person of peace. And what it says about a person of peace is that they welcome you. They'll serve you. They'll support you. They're willing to receive from you. That's the big thing. They're willing to receive. And it's amazing how Jesus says, if they're not willing to receive, just move on. Don't take offense. Don't beat it over their head. Don't coerce them into the kingdom. Don't condemn them into the kingdom. How many of you all tried all these methods? And they're real effective, right? I love the freedom, though. Jesus said, no. The kingdom doesn't work like that. Nobody's coerced into the kingdom. Nobody's condemned into the kingdom. We go and we share the goodness of God's message and people receive. People that are ripe, they receive. And so that's one major indicator that is, as far as our part, we want to say, God, help me find a person of peace. Help me find a person that you're already doing the work and you're already preparing and I just get to be a part of the process. Maybe a small part, maybe a big part. But I just get to be a process. You're preparing them so when I'm there, they're going to receive what I have to say. And if not, I move on. And that's okay. And then the last thing in there that's very interesting is Jesus says, when you find a person of peace, stay there. Stay there. Why? Because Jesus doesn't seem that interested in making converts. He wants to make disciples. The Great Commission is not go out and make converts of the whole world. And I know some of us wish it would, and sometimes that's a lot easier. Just get someone to say a prayer. And are all those things awesome and important? Yes, but I'm just going to be honest. That's not the command from Jesus. The commandment is not make converts, it's make disciples. And in order to make disciples, you got to stay there. You got to be willing to invest relationally. And that's what he tells his people to do, his followers to do. It's the 12, it's the 72. See, when God's working, stay there. Because it's a process to have someone become fully committed to following Christ. And really, the Lord of their life, that's a process. That's a relational journey. So stay there. And I believe that's just great, very instructive for us. Is that we're not looking for, we're just not just looking out, oh, I just want to make a bunch of converts. I just want to have a bunch of projects. I want to get a notch on my belt. It's like, God, no, this is your mission. You're in charge, God. You're preparing the harvest field. And my privilege is to be a part of what you're doing. And so I'm going to be available. I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say, I need your spirit to do it. I'm going to say, just show me a person of peace. And when I have that opportunity, I'm going to invest in them. And to as much as you lead me and I can in my season of life, I'm just going to stay there. I'm going to invest. I'm going to invest relationally so that I can be a part of what God is doing in their life. And that's why when we get down to the brass tacks of it, God's not calling us to save the whole world. He's just calling us to advance his kingdom by making disciples one person at a time. And really, that's my challenge to us as Elevation and to myself for 2015, is that would we commit to asking God to help us find one person of peace. Because this can be overwhelming, right? We're talking about Jesus saying, oh, to the ends of the earth. And then we start talking about, oh, God, we want you to save our whole city. And all those things are true, but that can be immediately deflating, right? Because then we look around and we're like, oh, my gosh, there's tens of thousands of people. Where are they all? Why aren't they coming to Christ? And Jesus just says, slow, slow, slow down. It's okay. I haven't called you to do that today. All I've called you to do today is be faithful, to seek out one, to be available, to be used how I ask you to be used. Because remember, it's my thing. It's my mission. I'm in charge. I'm doing it. I'm just inviting you to be a part of it. And so my challenge for us as Elevation, all of us, our youth included, again, because you have that unique opportunity on that mission field of the campuses of the future generation of leaders of our world. You have one of the most strategic positions possible. But not to get overwhelmed and say, oh my gosh, everybody is so crazy. But just like none of us, we're not gonna get overwhelmed. We're not gonna choose that mindset. We're just gonna say, it's God's job, he's in charge, he'll take care of it, and he's just asking me to open my heart and say, God, bring me one. Bring me one. In 2015, can I be a part of at least one person coming to know Christ and becoming a fully committed follower and disciple of Christ? Just bring me one. And some of you, your probably heart's burning right now. I know who it is. I know. I already know. I got him. And if not, that's okay. Pray. And my challenge is, would you commit? If you have that one, that you would commit to making yourself available to just say, God, you love that person. And this is about your desire to advance your kingdom. And Lord, I just want to be a part of it. Would you, in the power of your spirit, lead me and show me just what's the next step? What's the next step in relationally investing with them? What are you doing in your life or their life, God, that I can be a part of it? And oftentimes, it's going to be just going and serving them. As given an example here, you go into the house. Yeah, they serve you. They welcome you. They receive you. But you look for the ways you can just serve. That's what Jesus did. He went and served. Is it a coincidence that so often Jesus is going in and the first thing he's doing is saying, essentially, who's hurting? How can I serve you? And as he tangibly demonstrates God's love, hearts are opened and he preaches. Not that it's always in that order, but I think there's a real beauty to that. Jesus is often showing a servant heart before he's speaking the truth of how they need God or whatever God's doing in their life, et cetera, et cetera. I just believe that's a beautiful model. And I'm not prescribing something that always has to be God, let God lead. But the heart of, I want to be a part of your heart, God, in this person's life, how can I serve them and share your kingdom message as I serve them with God's love? And it's just, what's the next step? What's the next step? All right. I think we're done. If you don't have Lift Notes, I would encourage you to get one on the way out, because there's a few follow-up questions for today's message that I really strongly encourage every single person in here, our youth included, to answer these questions. Who's one person of peace that you feel led to invest in to make a kingdom impact in 2015? One. What is the next step you can take to invest in that relationship? And if you don't have a person of peace, will you commit to praying for one and then begin that process? Who's your one?
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.